14. Fragments. It is raining fire from a burned-out sky. The traitor host bubbles through the low streets and avenues of the Palatine. In their thousands, in their hundreds of thousands, they ascend the staircases of vitrified waste that the spider engines have woven from the walls and spill down into the Imperialis, an inky deluge. It is hard to tell in how many places the towering walls have been breached. The sky is black flame, the low underbelly of hell. The towers and spires of the Precinct Imperialis, those that still stand, are pockmarked and wounded. They are blackened too, caked in billowed soot and the wash of burners. The traitor mass is black. It is all the atrocious devils of the Inferno at once. Ebon armor, butcher hooks, obscene banners, a reek of putrescence. Gore-bellied armor distended like pot stoves, sloshing with inner ferment. Sizzling clouds of blowflies, black helms, wolf-mawed, hound-skulled, boar-tusked, horn-snouted, cage-muzzled, bay at the sky, black against black, or hiss crocodilian whispers to the never-born things that follow them in the shadows. This is the Terracide. This is the utter end and the ever-death. Shapes erupt from darkness around the charging mass, are made flesh, and stand blinking and mewling, new, never-born, learning the function of their solidifying senses and limbs, adjusting to their unfamiliar corporeal forms. They stand on mower legs, 8 meters high, toe claws the size of husked palm nuts, or on goat limbs, or on boneless trunks of glistening mollusk muscle. They shamble, ponderous under Kelonian shells of hard horn and chitin. They caper and gamble, hopping like vultures at a carcass, swan necks swaying, ibis bills clacking. They snuffle the ground and gnaw at the dead. They unfold wings of necrotic skin on fingerbone rods and catch the air and rise, cawing. They hatch like blisters, spilling out, frothing with foams of eyes, or oozing sores that palpate with trembling anemone tongues. They gland hatred and bile. They drip acid and pus. They gnaw and bark from drooling pit bull mouths, and from the sounds form words, and from the words the text of their new religion, and from the text the modes and offices of their demented priestcraft. They begin their rites of sparagmos and their capering dance macabre. They speak their names into the air, for in their xenolalia they know all names, and they scratch those names and marks upon the city's stones with trochar talons. One name above all. One name more and more, over and over, written in fear and read in glee. The name is not Horus Lupercal. It is the Thanatoxic Neverness. It is the then and the now and the when, for the clocks are all run out. It is the Vatic promise of the warp. It is the name that ushers in doom. Bombs burst, interrupting them. Splinters of shrapnel pass them, hissing like wasps. Agathe reaches to her cheek and finds a hole in it through which she can touch her teeth. She sits down. A corpsman rushes to her. His hands are quickly soaked in blood as he tries to close her wound. He's sobbing. She isn't sure if it's because of her or for some other cause. She doesn't ask. She waves aside analgesic and gets him to stitch it and plug it with a patch of pseudo-flesh. The soldiers she was talking to wait, unsure whether to continue or not. She gestures at them, irritated, and mumbles something incoherent that causes blood to spill out of her mouth.
"You..."
the officer begins, uncertain.
"Just carry on," Agathe's adjutant tells them. "Don't waste time. You were saying who you were."
403,
says the officer. He looks filthy, wretchedly equipped. "But then aren't we all," thinks Agathe.
403rd. We were told to report to you.
He pauses.
You are Marshal Aldana Agathe?
He asks. Agathe nods and grunts.
She is, says Fikes, the adjutant. Marshal Agathe of the Antioch Miles Vesperi.
Fikes is Vesperi. He says the words proudly, as though they mean something. They don't. The army of some 8,000 she commands is a scratch-built monstrosity, made of all the scrap she could get. She was something once, commander of a hive host. She stood alongside Valdor, Rauderon, and the great Khan himself at Colossae. They saw off the Pale King's worst, when such a feat was still possible. But that time's gone. The great Khan is dead, so she's been told. No one knows where brave Rauderon is. She's just a filthy soul sitting on the pavement in a dying city, having her face sewn back together by a weeping boy.
403rd, says Fikes,
asking the next question she would have asked.
403rd what? I don't know it.
Does it matter anymore? The officer replies.
I'll tell you what matters, Fikes snaps.
The soldiers shift uncomfortably.
We're from Gallow Hill Camp, the officer says. Most of us. Ordered to active service 2 weeks ago. We're glad to serve, I assure you.
Gallow Hill, says Fikes, curious. The detention camp? You were guards there?
Unable to speak because the corpsman's fingers are in her mouth, Agathe grunts and waves to get Fikes' attention. He hasn't caught on.
No,
says the officer. Fikes frowns. The facts finally align for him.
You're convicts? You're a penal unit?
Yes,
the man says.
The 403 is a penal unit, is it?
It is,
says the officer, and seems ashamed.
403rd Exigency Stratiotis.
Fikes looks at Agathe askance. She glares back, making her opinion very clear.
Well,
Fikes sniffs, turning back to the men without disguising his scorn.
Needs must, I suppose. What are your numbers?
About 1,000, says the officer.
He is grey-fleshed and grey-tuniced. He and his men have no helmets, just dirty forage caps, with an embroidered patch of the Palatine Aquila on the front.
We've soaked up a few scratch companies along the way. Stragglers from Anterior and...
Fikes isn't interested and doesn't let him finish.
You're sanctioned,
he asks.
You have your marks?
The officer and his men show the tags stapled like script orders to their collars, marks of purity and fitness. The corps logisticae, under the supervision of something called the Prefectus, has been screening people for health, for signs of infection, and for the wheals and blisters of immaterial contamination. These men have been past fit. Murderers, thieves and deserters, probably, the lot of them, but pure by the current yardstick.
I'll be checking every one of your compliment, says Fikes.
You may,
says the officer quite openly.
I don't need your permission, Fikes growls.
Agathe tells them to shut up with her mouth closed. It comes out as an angry snort.
Where do you want us, Marshal?
The officer asks. Agathe holds up a finger to bid them wait and tries to ignore the sensation of the blunt needle pulling through her cheek. The corpsman is done. She stands up, takes a canteen, flushes her mouth and spits pink soup onto the flagstones.
Nay,
she asks. It hurts to speak and comes out sloppily.
Mikhail,
he says.
Captain, what can you do, Mikhail?
She asks, making a mess of every consonant.
We have field guns,
he replies. That's something. She starts to explain her scheme of deployment, but every word is a slurred labour. She waves them over to the wall of the hab behind them and starts to draw in the thick dust instead. Simple finger marks, a suggestion of landmarks, a simplified plan. This is how it will be, she draws, forming basic lines so they can understand. The enemy masses here,
and here. The support armor will block and enfilade. They will break and run, like so. We will be here. These are the field guns you will bring to bear. This, as her fingers move from rough cross to faux smudge, this will be your arc of fire. This is where it will strike, this flank here. This will be our kill box. The convict officer nods. Her intentions are clear. She turns back to mark the anticipated lines of retreat if the gambit fails. The wall suddenly feels wrong to her touch. Not brick, not dust. It feels soft and spongy. It feels like the skin of her cheek. She withdraws her hand quickly and stares. The others stare too. The patch of wall is sarcoid, like stretched flesh or raw hide. Bristles sprout from sagging creases that vaguely resemble the original block joints and mortar. She can't look away from the wall. Behind her, she hears Fike's dry heave. It's not the sheet of mottled flesh that fascinates her. It's the marks she made in the dust. Her plan is gone, and the smudges now spell something out. Three words.
Did you write it?
The convict captain asks. Agatha shakes her head. She doesn't even know who the Dark King is. Spilled tarot cards, fallen from the torn musette bag of a dead Exertus sergeant near the Rezavi line, flutter in the war wind, billowing like dead leaves across the cracked and blood-soaked pavement. Some are torn, some creased, some stained. One of them is on fire.